tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth. So go so far, now turn around and go back the other way. And at each one of these outposts, there were Egyptian soldiers who were noting, yeah, we saw the Israelites. Yeah, we saw the Israelites. We saw the Israelites. And they're sending messages back to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is plotting their course on his map, and it's all kind of screwy. And he says, oh, well, they're confused. They're hemmed in by the desert. Let's go get them. Let's go after them. Pharaoh is bent on revenge. His nation lies in ruins. The crops are done. Animals are gone. His firstborn son is dead. And now he's going to go make the Israelites pay for all of this. God led his people in a confusing pattern to make them look more appetizing to their enemy. Then God incited their enemies to attack them. And when God did that, his people were terrified. So does this look right? God's enemies are all angry and healthy and strong and bent on revenge. They're racing across the desert. God's people are all kind of huddled together, saying, we're going to die. Now, if you just took that snapshot, which side would you like to be on? Huh? Wasn't it great to be a Penn State fan during the first half last night? Right up to the fourth quarter. Oh, how miserable it all is. If you just had that snapshot, this is what it looks like. God's enemies, they've got chariots, they're going quickly, they're strong, they're armed, there's more of them. God's people are quivering in fear, waiting to get crunched. We prefer to think of the Lord as the one who keeps our enemies away. Thou hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. The verse before that sings, thou pickest me out of the cleft of the rock and dangleth me over the flames. We can't imagine him slathering his sheep with bacon grease to make them more appetizing to the wolves. Surely the God is the author of peace, not anxiety, healing, not pain, direction, not confusion. But the Lord will use all of the above to fulfill his purpose within us. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Don't you wish God would give you one of those nice little cafeteria trays and you could just pick and choose? I'll have a little bit more calm and serenity. Maybe a little bit of encouragement over here. Oh, that'll be a good meal. Oh, no. Keep the trouble and anxiety off my plate. I've had enough of that. No, thank you, Lord. The Lord is accomplishing through these adverse circumstances a released, secure, faith-filled people. Once we start following the Lord into deeper waters, more is required out of us. At the beginning, we could just sit back and let him do and let him speak, and we're all speechless, how wonderful he died on the cross for us, and he has provided a salvation that all we need to do is believe. Hallelujah, how wonderful, how easy. I like it. But when we come up and we begin to walk with him, he leads us into ever deeper waters. And we begin to wonder, Lord, this doesn't seem right. This wasn't in the brochure they handed me, that tract the fella gave me. He talked about a life of meaning and purpose, and how you would bless and heal and encourage. And this just doesn't, it looks like I took a wrong turn. So have you ever thought maybe you lost your salvation because your life got so hard? Ever been there? You thought, I must have taken a wrong, God must not be pleased with me because my circumstances don't look like God is smiling right now. When we come up against life-threatening obstacles, it surprises us. I didn't think Christians went through this kind of stuff. I thought we were prevented from it. And if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged enough to turn back to our apathy or our lukewarmness. The key to it all is to remember that God is in control and He is good. Even now, we can know He is good. Doesn't feel like it, but we know that it's true. It has been revealed in so many different ways. A major component of growth is faith. Trust God more when circumstances look worse. And that's why the waters keep getting deeper. He's building your faith. Puddles won't do it anymore. Rivers aren't enough. Now He's starting to take you out into the ocean. But I can't even see the shore now, God. Good. Good. My toes don't touch the bottom, Lord. Good. 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 You know. And he's looking for more and more and more faith coming from us. You'll have noticed in your walk with Christ that you can do puddles, whereas before they used to really bother you. You can do rivers. They used to really scare. But now, you know, you're just kind of skipping across. And you can tell because other people are coming to you for advice or for counsel. You say, oh, yeah, I remember when. And, yeah, you just, you know, this is how we handle that. But, boy, if the Lord, He's not pleased with where we're at just yet. There's always a little bit deeper place where He wants to take us through. He's not satisfied with how far we've come just yet. He wants to make us better, greater in His kingdom. So expect backlash from old temptations. Things that hadn't bothered you for years, all of a sudden, they're in their chariots and they're coming. Friends you thought would be supportive of you, they decide to take a completely different view. And if you don't expect those things, at least recognize that when you're facing them, I must be going the right direction. Because the Lord said there'd be obstacles in the way. We must be headed in the right direction because it's harder than we thought it would be. Anybody there this morning? You're just in a place, you just, wow. I just thought it would be sweeter by now. I was expecting relief. And it got harder. What is going on in my life? The body looks confused. Don't have all our programs running smooth. We need leaders. We need rest. We need more money. My family's this. My body's that. What we really need is God. What you really need is God. Lord, if I could just get some vacation. Father, if I could just find a peaceful place for a little while. Lord, if the kids would just settle down for a minute. What you really need, what I really need in my life. We need more and more and more of God. Seek Him first and His pleasure and His will. When we have enough, when we have all the answers, we're not moving, we're settled. What we can expect is what we've already got. And a lot of times we're satisfied with that. The Lord is looking for a people, looking for a promised land, looking for the power of God, looking for revival. I was a little iffy on this message coming in this morning. Oh, Lord. And then when I walked in the door, Amber was in front of me, Amber Russell, and she had on the back of her shirt in big block letters, revival. I said, Lord, I think I'm in the right place, and I think it's the right message for this morning. He's looking for a people who's looking for more. Have enough, that's great. I have all of what I need, but more of you. And if I have enough, my neighbors don't. They need you, Lord Jesus. And I need an opportunity to fish in their pond. Give me the right bait. Give me the right lure. Oh, God, I won't be satisfied until everyone has come to know you. We can be satisfied with a little country church filled with pleasant people. Or we can get ready to move in order to become a church that wins its area for Jesus, affects its nation for Christ. We can relax, enjoy the peace, knowing that we're ready for heaven. Or we can get a heart for the lost and begin to pant after them and say, oh God, as long as I'm here, I might as well work. As long as I'm here, I might as well get busy. Moving is unsettling, it's hard, it's consuming, it's confusing. Verse 31 of that same chapter reads, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. They're now on the other side of the Red Sea. The enemy was coming. They were crying out, Moses, what have you done to us? You brought it out here to kill us. Oh, the Lord is so mean. And God said to Moses, lift up your staff. And the water is dry, you know, all the way across. And the Egyptians were so filled with hatred and bitterness and so filled with confidence, they charged right out. The walls of water came down, drowned them all. And the Israelites were on the other side. When they saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses. Ka-ching, payoff. You were anxious, you were afraid, you were shaking in fear, but now you're dancing with joy. Now your faith cup has been filled up. It was empty, it was dry. You had nothing to go on. You were scared to death. But now you saw the mighty hand of God at work on your behalf, and you could not have this without that. You couldn't have the overflowing experience of God's power without having first been empty. How many know God knows how to empty cups? We sing that chorus, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Maybe a chorus before that one should be, empty my cup, Lord. Drain it out. I've got other stuff in it that is satisfying me just enough that I'm okay. Lord, empty my cup. That song we just sang. Until it's Christ in me. Come and empty me until it's Christ in me. But we have this propensity to find a place where we are satisfied, where it works for us, where we're content enough. And as Tozer said, the first step toward revival is to become absolutely disgusted with where you're at. Lord, this isn't what I was born for. This isn't to pay the bills. How many get a real zing whenever you write a check out to the electric company? Woohoo! You know? Oh boy, the gas bill came, hon. Let's write a check. Yes. Oh, good news. We had almost enough money to cover all the bills this month. Hallelujah. Isn't life grand? You remember those days when you first started out as a couple or out on your own? You got a job. You're getting a paycheck. You're getting $200 a week. Man, what are you going to do with all that money? And you go to rent an apartment and, oy vey, all of this. Lord, empty my cup. I become satisfied. I appreciate everything I have. It's a good life. But you know what? I need to be a little bit more hungry than I have been. I need to be a little more thirsty than I have been. So come and empty me. till I realize it's you that I need. For the first time in their lives, they're standing outside of Egyptian territory. You will find that the devil fights the hardest just before you break free. You will find that he will incite your flesh more than ever before just before you break free. But keep following the Lord, keep following the Lord, keep following the Lord. There's joy and freedom on the other side. Their fear was turned into faith. Their anxiety was replaced by joy. They had a near-death experience in order to experience life more abundant. God is secure enough to allow us to go through seasons in the desert, seasons of desperation, seasons of anxiety, in order to bring us to a better place. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will lead us right there. We will feel the cold breath of death on our neck. We'll feel the shiver up our spine. We'll say, oh God, where are you? I so much prefer when we're in worship and I get those Jesus bumps all over and I feel your presence so strong. God, why would you allow me to feel so cold and lonely and isolated? You're still there, aren't you? Those moments are as orchestrated by God as when you've got the goosebumps all dancing up and down your arms. It's part of the process. And he is secure enough to allow the cold winter seasons in our life, knowing that spring is coming. We get cabin fever. We can't wait. We are in misery. We writhe a little bit. We don't like our testimony right now. The neighbors, we told them last spring how wonderful Jesus is. And since then, they've watched our house burn down and our dog die and this and that happen. We're going, ah! We're almost sure God doesn't know what he's doing, or he lost our file somewhere in the computer system of heaven. But he did not. He did not. All the Egyptians were looking down at those Israelites shaking and being afraid and worrying. And if you were a bystander on the side looking, you'd say, I'm glad I'm not one of them. But if you were also that bystander, you saw them dancing on the other side, you said, boy, I'd like to be one of them. Just wait. That's what faith is all about. Just wait. It's going to be awesome. Going to be great. The deeper your valley gets, the darker it becomes. Just wait. When you break through the other side of that tunnel, the light, the joy, the grace of God, we will arrive at a place of greater faith, joy, and life. I've said all that to tell you, we're moving. New Life Assembly is moving. We're moving from a comfortable worship experience where the bills are all paid, our kids are safe. We're contented to a place of challenge, sacrifice, and harvest. It'll get harder before it gets better. How many would like to say at the end of your life, I did it, God. I stayed faithful. I stayed in it. I pressed in. I pressed forward. I followed you, God. It was, excruciating at times. But I lived, and now others live too. We gave, but it was seed that produced a crop that was worthwhile. Oh, Lord, it's not enough to have stainless steel appliances in our kitchen, to have a second car in our garage, to eat this and to have that. Lord, I want my life to be only Christ in me. Why not be satisfied with where we're at? Because others will go to hell, and God will not be so greatly glorified. God is glorified much more mightily in revival than in judgment. He's waiting for us to press in so that he can pour out his spirit in greater measure on us. With a greater anointing, we will be able to reach more people, teach more effectively, live more powerfully. It's hard to fast and pray. It's hard to press in. It's hard to give up a little bit more of me so there can be a little bit more of him. But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Can you lay it all on the altar again? Can you take what you have? It might be tired, it might be miserable, it might be difficult, and say, oh God, I don't care. Let it rain. Let it rain, but please, may the crops grow, may the fruit be abundant. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. God, rain on this church. Draw us closer. Fill us up. Use us completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand with me this morning? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Lord, in all that crowd, there was this one fellow by the name of Moses. And when everybody was coming and saying, what have you done to us? He said, don't be afraid.